Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Broken Tree Ranch in Shingle Springs, California, you are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio in Studio B, live on blogtalkradio.com. Radio, and tonight's Soul Stream. It's a Thursday night, and Kathy, thank you for coming on and being here with me as a co-host. Hello, my dear.
Hello, my God.
we had a good time on your show and talked a little bit about everything. And matter of fact, between that, I went and picked up Anthea's book, First Responders, The Untold Story of the New York City Police Department and 9/11. So our own Anthea, who we see all the time out there and who's got her own great radio show out here, wrote that book, and she's a former police officer, I guess, is what you were telling me earlier. So I just picked that up on my Kindle. I got to really, you know, say something here. I mean, these Kindles are the best. They've got all kinds of capabilities, built-in MP3 player. It's got a browser, and I can actually – I'm going to use it on the grand tour of the – of the Southwest to do my tweeting. So these things are the best device I've ever seen. I mean, I've got more books than I know what to do with now. And I've converted books now. Found out how to make the format from PDFs, PDF books I have to get them on. So my mediumship class that I've been taking is now a PDF or is a what's called a Mobi format book here on the Kindle. And so I've been studying my stuff, and this is the best thing in the world. I really think people are going to be, this is the book of the future. People will just be buying these, and like 5 years, you'll just have an entire library in your hand, you know. But you get 3,500 books on this thing. It's just amazing. So, there's no excuse for not reading. So, let's see. Oh my God, we got a busy bunch tonight, huh? Look at this. Mm-hmm. And the chat and the call-in lines are jamming up. Boy, what did we say? Okay, do you want to do the shout out or?
Sure, I'd be glad to.
All right, yeah, go for it.
We have Alan, which has a great show, along with Scott Wise and of Ghost Radio, and sorry, these sinuses are really giving me a fit. But anyway, we have. Jerry Thorne, I like that name. And we have Renee, Dances with the Angels, and Domenica Mori out in Arizona. Fire Witch, our Joy, which I do miss her putting her blessings in the chat room. Bless her heart.
Oh, yeah.
Sweet,
yeah.
Sweet lady. I really take the world of her.
Yeah.
But we also have our Florida Christy and our Frank Fuhrer. And our Karen's Dream out in Arizona. We love you, Karen. And we have our Mother Jerry. Bless her heart. Y'all send out prayers or blessings or something so her kids can get through whatever they're going through. Bless their hearts. I hate to see any kids sick. But we also have Mountain Hawk and Nico and Prairie Mystic. I like that. Quinny. Call in, Quinny, so we can do that. Thingamaboogle, and we've also got Voice of Reason, our Veronica V, and Randazzo. Oh, Randazzo, what a name. Okay. Thank y'all so much for coming. Bless your heart.
Right. So, yeah, good to see Randazzo. Oh, and yeah, Scott and Voice of Reason, Veronica V is here, and then all the lurkers out there, too. Good to have you, listening in. Yeah, definitely a good Soul Stream night, and I think people are coming back from vacation and summer vacation, and now I'm going to be the one going on vacation, and I get to take all of you with me. I'm going to be getting my new broadcast unit for the Mustang, and you guys will be part of the trip. I'll be calling in quite a bit and actually doing some shows from the road. So I'm going to be testing that next week, just about three or four days before I actually leave for the trip. I'll be doing a show to test from the road all the systems and make sure everything's going good so I can have I'll be wearing a headset as I drive and have the unit that does all the connectivity to Sprint hooked up and making sure that I can get to the network. And I'm really looking forward to this. It's a technical challenge, and it's going to be a lot of fun to hook up with friends. And I'll be seeing Karen out there in Phoenix as I drive through, and Elizabeth, and Dominica is going to be on the agenda as we drive through up in her neck of the woods in northern Arizona there. So a lot of neat stuff coming our way. But anyway, hey, tonight it's kind of a general free-for-all call-in night, so it's not going to be all readings. If you have just some questions on paranormal things, you've got the right bunch of people all together in one place to talk about, your paranormal things you got going on. You just want to share a story, we're all up for that, too. But let me look at the chat or at the board here, and I think we got, I think Quinny is the 978. So I'm going to ask Quinny just to say yay or nay is that, because we've got a bunch here, don't we? Yeah, we got, Quinny's in there, I think.
Oh, Frank said that's him.
Oh, it's Frank? Oh,
yes.
Frank, how are you doing? So Quinny is going to dial in, Noe, and we're going to do a reading for her, because her her boyfriend, he gets around. And, he's been, I actually heard him, but it was like two words were said in my right ear. And it was just far enough away and just kind of, and I just got a nice cold chill in the back when I said that. So, that was disturbing. He said two words that were like, and you could tell it was a male speaking, but it was just so indistinct I couldn't quite grasp what was being said. So, he's been bugging you too, right?
Yeah,
what's he doing to you?
Well, like I told you, I guess about a week ago, I thought it was my friend Fleet that was peeking around the corner, and it was him, because Fleet didn't even come this way. And I live in a big old Victorian house, so, there's a lot of doors here. And then yesterday, I heard the energy I felt something staring at me, and then I heard my name called out, and it was a male. And I thought it was him, and all I heard was Kathy. And nobody was here but me. So.
Yeah. Well, it's definitely picking up, too. I mean, we're at that time of the year where we're approaching, fall is almost here. We're going to be getting in towards, October, where, the veil is really thinning. And so things are going to pick up, and people will be inside more. So, especially for places that do have a history, you're going to be noticing more things like that. I did want to bring up one thing before I take the call. There is something that I just happened to spot, me being in the space business and all that. Mark your calendars, December 21st of this year, actually Yule, for many people who follow the pagan persuasion and all that. But Yule, December 21st, 2010, is going to be one of the nicest lunar eclipses in recent memory. And North America is absolutely, picture perfect set to see this whole thing. And so that will actually be, I think, in the early evening. And if you go out to NASA's actually Google and do NASA and then Lunar Eclipse 2010 as their search terms, you'll find the page for this. And it'll show you, all the information you need to know about it. But mark it on your calendar. It's a big thing. And I'm going to be actually taking photographs of it and doing some work with that. And who knows, I might howl at the moon a little bit and do some EVP work out there while I'm doing my other scientific stuff I like to do. So I am an amateur astronomer, amongst my many other things I do. But, yeah, mark that down. It's an extremely interesting thing to see a lunar eclipse. And some metaphysical, terms, to the blood on the moon, because the moon actually turns like an orangey-red color. And I actually have to research that a little more and find out what the old thoughts were from the paranormal side about all that. So, and there's also been some strange activity for the paranormal crew out there with the sun. There's been a lot more activity, solar flares. We had a near glance off the side of the Earth here just this last week from a pretty good pulse that came from the sun. So the sun is acting up a whole lot more. The point of this being, in talking about this, is that it seems to also be a power source for paranormal activity. So some of the increases we may be seeing may be a result of that. So be on the lookout. Watch the space weather. On the GRI website, we have, a space weather area that kind of ties in. So we kind of, we start looking a little more if we see activity from the sun picking up because, obviously, more energy coming in here to this planet, it could do some things, and people have noticed that correlation. So, just be on the lookout. But it's interesting times, definitely a more violent period with the sun, and consequently, I've been noticing more activity. I wonder if it's connected here. But anyway, let's see. We got, everything's filling up. I'm going to take the 978 first. Okay. 978, you're on the air.
Hello. How's everybody doing?
How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing good. Two things. I would like to do some soul streaming, but before going into that, I just wanted to make a comment saying you just were commenting how paranormal activity is increasing in the sun and so on. About a year ago, I did some extra work for a movie, which is actually coming out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And on the scene I was... I'm sitting next to this lady, out of all people, that happened to believe in the paranormal. So when they're setting up the scene and everything, she's talking to me. And out of the blue, she just made that comment that the Earth vibrations were increasing, and that was one of the reasons why not only paranormal activity was increasing, but also a lot of people was crossing over due to that. And I guess it's leading to all the changes that are coming. And I don't know, when you mentioned the sun was very active and all that, that sort of reminded me, that comment, the lady man, which was very interesting because I sort of needed to hear that day for some reason. And, well, something to keep in mind.
All right. So repeat that. I didn't quite catch the connection. So you're saying that with more of the solar activity, right?
Well, she just mentioned the Earth, our planet, that the vibrations of the planet itself were increasing. And just for a more scientific approach to it, now that you mentioned the spikes that have been happening with the sun, which is getting pretty active lately, maybe it's all intercorrelated. It just came to my mind when you mentioned it.
Well, it's funny. We live in a very active thank you, Kevin. I see that. We live in a very active universe. It's not a static thing we live in. And and it's been found it's a much more violent place than we ever imagined. And when you look at some of the more recent space telescope, and not only Hubble, but some of these new specialty scopes that have been put up, some of the things that we're running into, there's a giant black hole at the center of our galaxy, just as in most other galaxies have this same feature, which really are kind of the engine that drive the rest of, all the stars creating and holding the whole galaxy, the structure together and do what it does. There's a lot of talk about the lineup in 2012, how all the planets and everything line up with the galactic center and things like that. But, it's a really interesting period in time for us. Things don't line up like this often. And here we are at this critical juncture in human history. And I think it's going to be a good thing. I don't think we're going to have disaster. I think we're going to have a lot of transformation, a lot of changes, and if we just all stick together through it and don't freak out, I think we're going to be okay. But I do think a lot of people are going to transition, though, and a lot are doing that. It's been interesting to see, just if you know, you talk about the earth vibrations, a lot of people hear, and maybe, Kathy, maybe you know about this, a lot of people are actually hearing that buzzing tone. I'm trying to think of the name of this. It's like a tone that you hear, and a lot of people actually, yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
You sent me a thing, and, you know, to figure out what exactly I'm hearing, and it's 10 megahertz.
Yeah, like 7 to 10 megahertz, you know, it's a natural frequency of the planet itself. And the question, you know, I'd like to know why that is. Is it a function of the magnetic, you know, field of the planet itself? I mean, because it's molten underneath, and it's like a big dynamo. You know, it's that's how it generates its magnetic field. It's an electrical field, and it shields us from all those harmful rays from the sun and, you know, particles that come in. So it's really, to me, I just want to know, you know, why would people be able to hear that? That's on the other hand, I hear spirits, and so do you. I mean, so it shouldn't be that strange to us, but it is odd to me that it would have that tone like that, you know, and that some people are hearing it now. And is it changing? Is it becoming more audible because it is changing or becoming more energetic? I don't know, you know, so. But anyway, we're getting off way off in the weeds, but you wanted to do what did you want to do, an ITC type thing, or did you want me to do some mediumship with it, or?
No, I just want to do some full streaming.
Okay, let me go ahead and set up here. What do you want to ask tonight? What's going on with
I'm more looking to see what they have to say, because I've been a little upset with everybody other than humans. Well, humans too, but that's another story. And they know I'm upset a little. They know why. And they might be laughing about it. I don't know. But I just want to know what they have to say. Like, I'm a little clueless about everything right now. I mean, things are being good, but I guess I'm not what I want to be.
Okay. You know, something that's funny is I just had somebody recently talking about that. I'm actually in a mediumship training group, and there was in my training class, there was someone who was saying something almost the same about how they weren't getting, their guides were failing them. And I kind of came back, I listened to that, and I kind of just searched inside, and I came back with an answer. And my teacher agreed with me, was that, you know, it's like, wait a minute, your guides are showing you, your guides don't make mistakes. They're showing you what you need to deal with. Mm-hmm. If anybody's got the issue, you need to look at what you're doing and really question where you're coming from, and then look for the lesson that you're being shown. And, you know, and it was really neat because this guy was real open. You know, when we got the answer, and I saw it in my mailbox, and I went and opened up the forum and took a look, it was like, you know, he just said, you're right. I didn't stop to consider that, you know, that, you know, some of this stuff that I'm having troubles with, it's like I'm projecting my human things onto them. They're not even human. They're, you know, they're on that side. They're, you know, they are spirits, but they're not, you know, they, just by the nature of the way things work, that's how it is. I have to deal with this. And so he took it pretty well. And I rather like that, though. I was like, because I had the same exact set of feelings about a month ago, and I was thinking, what the hell are my guides doing? What the hell is this, all this stuff? And I was coming down on them, and then I went, wait a minute, that's me. And I kind of kicked my own butt, and I deserved it. And so it was kind of neat to, you know, kind of see that. And then my teacher, you know, she said the same thing, Carol, and she's just great. She's out of all places, Phoenix. And so, you know, just think about that, my friend. Think about it, that, you know, you've got lessons coming in. It may not be going the way you want, but it may be going the way you need.
Mm-hmm. No, it's different. I mean, I don't feel so much that they're failing me or anything like that. It's more like nothing is going on at all. And I'm like, it's more like, I don't know, to give you perhaps an analogy, it's like people who are unemployed right now, and they have all this, I don't know, they've been unemployed for so many times, and they lay off, and they thought it was great, they would have a little vacation, but all of a sudden the week went by, and they're home sitting, and it's like, had this really urge for start getting active and getting things to do, but there's really nothing to do, and they're just waiting eternally. So that's how I feel overall, with everything. And
well, that's about shift. Really, I mean, when you look at what's happening with the political shifts that are going on, and these are tectonic type shifts in human society that are happening, and there's a fundamental shift going on worldwide. And, you know, us as an empire, you know, the United States is an empire, and we are an empire. There's no doubt about that. You know, we followed up where the British left off. We're going through real value shifting, and it's a painful, ugly thing. And, you know, the China is itching to get at the top of the heap, and the bottom line is they're not going to make it. And, you know, we are still going to be doing what we do, but in a new, different way. And, you know, this employment thing is going to change, because it has to. You can't have this kind of idleness in the economic sectors like this. And the Republicans are going to get in and make some shifts and force some changes and get balance back in the system. It's definitely going to – nobody's going to get everything they want, but it will get better. So just hang in there. I mean, that's the thing I think I see is it's going to be ugly probably into March. You know, it'll be my read on this, and I've been talking about a lot of folks on this stuff, and you know, both from just a pure, you know, non-medium type thing, and just talking about it from you know how's this going to play out, to you know, this is what the guys are saying, you know, and the other side is, you know, the other side's very aware of, you know, the discontent and anger and all that, but we are being forced to look at what we spend our money on day to day. And our priorities and what our values are. This is an abject lesson in values. That's what this is all about. And when we finally realize, so, you know, what that is all about, and we internalize it, and we start living it, then things are going to get better. And I really believe that. So, you know, it's we're definitely getting called to the carpet by forces higher than us. So, welcome to the party, Frank. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and fire up the. Let's limit it to one question tonight, because we got a lot of callers.
That's fine.
So what I'm going to do is, don't you need to adjust that? Let me run a check sequence. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and play that. Okay, looks good. All right, here we go. I'm going to do a 5 count, and I'll turn you loose, my friend. Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi, I just want to know what's next.
Okay, and I took that out to about 30 seconds. Boy, you kept that short. You kept that short, dude. It was like, I was going, wow, he's going to go, he's going to have a good question. He's going, I just want to know what's next. That's a new one for you.
Oh, look, that's a pretty strong question.
Yeah, I know. It's a nice short, sweet. I was like, oh, that's short for Frankie. Frank usually gets into the, really gets the meat of the question in there. So you want the no. Okay, so we're going to make that happen. So here we go. And, yeah, it looks good. Got a nice set of signals here. And let me go ahead and see if my little chain technique I've been trying to make work. I may have to keep tuning this, but I'm getting there. Whoops. I'm going to apply that to the current project. Nope, that didn't work at all. So I'm going to undo that, and I'm going to make an edit to this. I'm going to edit that chain and make a slight reduction in that. And I'll take that down about
Are you eating? Yeah, I was having a cookie.
Sorry. I could eat the whole thing. I said, I can hear everything you're biting in. It's starting to laugh. Wow. Okay, looks like I made this change. It's not quite what I like, but I'm going to go ahead and see if this works. That actually ain't half that bad. So I just got to tweak this up a little bit. So what else is going on in the world of Frank? How's the education going?
Education is pretty fine. Everything is the same. The only thing... Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing is, guys, we are hanging in my room. I mean, the apartment. Like, my mother went on vacation, and now it's like a party here. Like, I just keep seeing things moving through the house like crazy. But nothing hostile, nothing bad. Huh?
You've had that shadow that you've been seeing, and I remember that from the other calls.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had that. What's been happening there? You said you're seeing more stuff, huh?
Yeah, like, you know, they move things in the kitchen now, like, and they just walk through the hallway between my room and the bathroom in the kitchen and so on, and they just reacted. My fish, sometimes, even my fish, I think, kills them, because my fish get very agitated when anybody goes near him, and out of the blue alone, he's been doing the same now, so... That's basically what's going on.
So your animals are reacting to this stuff then, and you're actually
mm-hmm.
seeing. You know, have you done any attempts at trying to kind of find out who this is, maybe record them, and ask them to do something?
I tried to do AVP once, but I really didn't get anything, so I just gave up.
You know, you really, with that kind of activity, I wouldn't give up. Matter of fact, I mean, just if you do take a sequence and you're not sure you got anything, send it over to us this way, you know, because I do run analysis, and if, you know, if I can't do it, I'll find somebody who can help you. But, you know, don't give up right off the bat, because a lot of times we can tease things out, you know, with our techniques and the stuff we have. We do this all the time, and so we can help with that. Okay, it looks like, you know, it's a little different than I'm used to, but definitely got some interesting modulations going here. So I'm going to go ahead and amplify your question, your very short question, and we'll play that first. Here we go.
Hi. I just want to know what's next.
Okay, what's next? So I'm going to take it in the standard 2-second burst, and it was a little different this time. So 2 to 4 seconds, here we go. Oh, that's extremely interesting. 2 to 4 seconds, you've got a male voice, and he's saying, it's nice to see you. It's nice to see you. Very easy.
Okay.
No trouble with that. And this is Frank's reading. Let me write this down. And today is what, the 16th? Yeah, the 16th of September.
Well, 17 when I am, but yeah.
Okay, so 2 to 4 seconds, it's nice to see you. And I took this out. Let me see how far this goes. This goes to 29 seconds after I did all the clipping and everything. Okay, let's take it from 4 seconds to 6, next burst, and it's a nice phrase here. So, did you just have pizza recently?
Pizza?
Yeah, pizza.
No. I was craving pizza recently, but I didn't actually have pizza.
You were what pizza? You were doing
craving it? Like, I was having the craving, but I didn't actually eat pizza.
Well, it says here, I'm going to eat your pizza. So, obviously... I think they caught on that you were thinking about that. So, you know, get some pizza, you know, and then offer them a piece.
Okay.
Whoever this is has a sense of humor. I can sense that, and he's actually quite funny. 6 to 8 seconds, next burst. Here we go. It's either, do you have a camera you've been considering trying to use to capture this? These people? This?
I have cameras. I have not considered trying to use them to get this.
It says here, you're needing the camera. You know, yes, evidently they're, I don't think they're adverse to you trying to capture them. So, you know, get a digital, you have a digital camera?
Yeah, I have a I have a DSLR and I also have a little HD recorder.
Yeah, try some. When you see stuff happening, call out to them and ask them to make an appearance in a general direction and trust your instincts. And then shoot bursts of shots, you know. Don't just shoot one, shoot three or four or five. And then wait for the next thing to happen. And then just keep a log of it. So, they're from what I gather here, they are not adverse at all to making their appearance and letting you see them that they're there. So, yeah, it seems to be a fairly friendly haunt, as a matter of fact. So it's to go 8 to 10 seconds. Here's the next set. Here we go. Okay, do you drink coffee?
No, actually.
Because it says this spirit is saying, I drink coffee. So he's referring to his old life, I guess. But he's talking about, he's trying to get his point across about something with his personality in it. You know, I drink coffee. That's a new one. It's kind of a mundane, but interesting that, I don't know. I mean, I was torn between I'm Frank Coffee and, you know, with your name, but it sounded more like I drink coffee. So I'm just going to put some question marks in it, but I'm going to stick with drink. And, okay, here we go. 10 seconds to 12. Next set. Here we go. Okay, tell me about the place you're living in. What's the history with that?
It is a big building, used to be a school, I think, and it's a senior citizens building now.
It's what? Say again?
Senior citizens.
Okay. Do you know any of the history of that room or anything that might have happened in that area? Did anybody die in that immediate vicinity that you've ever heard stories about?
I had not heard any story about anything, but tons of people had died in this building for sure, and I'm assuming around too.
Well, the spirit is telling you it's my house too.
Yeah,
it's my house too. Basically, you're going to be, just get used to the fact you're sharing it with them, and they're. It's not like a hostile thing, but it's just like, oh yeah, it's my house too. Hey, and I like coffee, by the way. So buy some, damn it. So I can see the spirit saying that. 12 to 14. God darn this thing. I got my Microsoft. You know, I hate Microsoft sometimes. They did this update on my computer, and now they're saying, for the rest of the show, I have to hit every 15 minutes or I'm going to reboot. And I just want to take somebody at Microsoft and slap them silly and go, don't do that. So anyway, here we go. 12 to 14 seconds. Here we go. Okay, they are actually referring to you by name, helping you, Frank, and then it says bugs you. And it bugs you that they're there.
It says what?
They're saying, they think that what they're saying is helping you, Frank, and then they're saying bugs you. That's kind of funny. Yeah, it's like, you might want to talk to them more and make sure that they, you say to them, no, it's not bugging me, it's just I'm kind of trying to figure this all out. So, just speak naturally to them, when no one's around. I'm sure you're talking to them, but. Anyway, here we go. 14, a little bit after 14 seconds up to 17. I'm going to let this one, I'm going to take a bigger swipe at it, see what we get here. Okay. is an observation about the temperature. Cold here makes some fire. Okay. So you said what's happening. So what's next? And they're telling you. 17.5 to 20. Here we go. Question to you, would you like to believe us? Do you believe in them? And I do think it's pretty clear you do. So, but speak to them. You know, that seems to be a big theme with what they're saying here. And it's a male all the way. This is the one voice the whole way through here. So, 20 to 22 and a half. Next set. Here we go. If I can get that. Okay, there we go. Okay, religious reference, Jesus likes me. All right. 22.5 to 24.5, next set. Here we go. Okay, set reference to second spirit. Say hello, Mikey. Do you know anybody named Mikey that's passed?
I hope not.
All right. Well, then there's somebody named Mikey that's tied in here. So now we have at least one name. I don't know the name of the guy that's doing the talking, most of the talking here, but it is a male.
Well, I do know two Mikeys.
Pardon me?
I do know two Mikeys, but they both should be alive. One of them is leukemia. Hopefully not.
This could be a say hello to Mikey. Just keep that in mind. So if it's not someone dead, then the spirit is knowing, whoever. Have any of those Mikey people been to the house?
To this house?
Yeah, to this place.
No.
Okay. So, interesting here. I hope we get a name in it, because we got two more sets here, and then we'll be done with it. So 24.5 to 26.5. Actually, I'm going to take that down just a little shorter. Yeah, let's try that. Almost 2 seconds. 24 to 26. Here we go. You keep us locked out. Then the next set here, I'm going to take and break it up to one more section here, 26 to 27. It's either trying to help you or I help you. I can't decide which, but it's a pretty... pretty easy set. I mean, just a few places it's a little hard to take, what they're saying and to interpret it. But 27.5 to 29, and this is the end of it. Interesting observation about you. So this spirit is really into you, but they know you is the bottom line. They're very aware of you. It says here, I help you, and then the final one is you like mystery. So let's go through the whole thing. It's nice to see you. And then they're very aware of your habits and possibly even your thoughts based on this. I'm going to eat your pizza. you'll be needing a camera, I guess, to take a picture of them. And then this one spirit, he's talking about his love of coffee. And then he says, it's my house, too. And so he's basically declaring that he has the right to be there. Help you, Frank, but it bugs you. So it's kind of like they know their appearance is kind of, you know, that you stop and look and are noticing them. Cold here makes them fire. So they're wanting, I guess, the house warmed up for more. I don't know. Would like you to believe in us. And then this religious statement out of the blue, Jesus likes me. Then say hello, Mikey. And we didn't hear any difference in the voice. So whoever this Mikey person is, I think it may be say hello to Mikey. So it'd be interesting to find out from one of the Mikeys that you know, was there anybody that may have lived in that area? So that's definitely an interesting reference. You keep us locked out. So you're kind of still, you know, undecided, I think, a little bit about the whole thing, what's going on there. But they're basically saying they're going to go through no matter what you say. I help you, and then or trying to help you. And then you like mystery. So that's it in a nutshell. So not anything big. It's more about their relationship with you. And you definitely have a male there. So, you know, it was the same voice all the way through.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to think.
What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm trying to digest what everything means right now.
Well, you know, it's sometimes it comes down to, you know, the rest of the world is going to go along its merry path, and you know, because we were talking about all the big stuff, and sometimes it's just pays, you know, it pays to pay attention to the little things. And right now, the biggest little thing you've got going on is this haunt, from the sounds of it. You know, you've mentioned it a couple of times on the show prior, and they're making a point of it. And you know, have you been talking to them at all? That's the big thing. I'm kind of wondering.
Oh, yeah, definitely, especially at night when I'm trying to sleep.
Okay. I would, I'll tell you what, you know, if you make the, you know, if you start seeing activity and you tell them, hey, I'll get a recorder out and record it, and then I'll send it on to John or, you know, whoever to analyze, you know, do that. Take a shot at it. Ask some specific questions right there with them, talking with you, and then we can run the analysis. You know, do a 10-minute burst, or, you know, just a few questions, and you know, send it in. I think it'd be interesting to see what you pick up, but give it a try. I think that's going to be interesting. Okay, here we go.
Well,
let's
give it a try next weekend.
Yeah, give it a shot, and then you know, stay in touch with us, okay? Yeah, but you're going to be always on, so you're a regular here. All right, my friend.
All right, thank you.
Okay, hey, see you later.
Bye.
Okay, 908 is this Queenie.
Hello. Hi, it's
Hello,
Queenie.
Hello, Queenie.
Hi, hi.
Hello, Queenie Poo. We love
hi,
you.
Hi, Johnny Poo.
Your boyfriend is he's a piece of work, let me tell you. He's like a really insistent guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't pick up what he was saying, you know, I mentioned that earlier. It was two words, it didn't sound English to me at all, and I know he spoke, you know, Polish, and so I don't know if he was just, you know, there it goes again, I'm getting another cold spot here. Every time I talk about him, I get a cold spot. So my whole right arm is like ice cold right now. Anyway, I got a feeling he might have been trying to speak in another language, and I just didn't, you know, I had the audacity not to know Polish.
Either that, or he was cursing or doing whatever.
Did he have a temperament?
Not that he showed me, but he was stubborn.
That part I could figure really clear, because he's been all over the place, and he's, you know, basically he knew about me before you talked to him about me and Kathy, cause, so he knew who to go to,
yeah.
You know. I mean, it's just, it's been surprising. I mean, I've been noticing when I opened up my place a little bit, because, you know, I had put steps up to kind of keep them all out, and I finally decided, you know, this is kind of dumb. I'm throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So I opened it back up, and this was right after he had passed, you know. And the next thing I know, I've got energies moving through here like crazy. And, you know, it was and it was definitely a man. It's definitely male energy. And I saw one tonight. And, you know, and the really disturbing part is like, I go in my bathroom, I'm doing my thing, and I look out, and I'm seeing this stuff out there, you know, and I've got the door open, and I'm going, God, these guys, okay, we're going to, like, not do that when I'm doing my business. God, it's only when I'm doing that, I see these ghosts walking around my house, God. I'm talking to them about that. I was like, God, why don't you just appear when I'm on the radio show? And jeez. You know, I guess it's your mental state or something. I don't know. But, yeah, he's a bit of a joker, too. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And one of the funny things, I was on the phone with Kathy, and she hears a uh-huh. And then I'm on the phone with Mom, and she hears, yeah. And she's like, who's over? I'm like, nobody. I just heard someone say, yeah, like they were right there, deep male voice. Oh, that's Richie.
Yeah, he's got he's like a, I don't know if he's studying at the Debbie Caruso School of EVP or what, but he's like a fast study. I mean, usually it takes a couple of years for them to start really getting the hang of things, and he was like, he's all over it. So just like what Debbie did, I don't know, I just get the feeling that, you know, with all the changes going on, they're adapting very well to speeding it up to help people who do cross. So, you know, I don't know. But, I mean, now Kathy told me you wanted to do, you know, some kind of a reading or whatever, or?
I'd like to see if he comes through this way or if he's going to wait some more. Seeing that he's very insufferable.
Insufferable? What do you mean by that?
He's stubborn. He's persistent. He's there's just been some things like the other night my bedroom door was locked. I went to leave my bedroom and it was locked.
Yeah, you sent me that mail and I went, did you get locked in? Did you ever get out? Are you trapped?
Yeah.
Or should I leave there?
and the funny thing was that at that point in time, I was crying and I was talking to him, and I do have my robe on the back of the door, so I see that, but I was seeing static electricity coming from there.
Okay. Are you keeping a log of all the, you know, and this is, you know, I know I harp on this every time we have people on it, but are you keeping a log of all these things that are happening?
No.
I would really recommend you stop after, tonight after the show, sit down and get yourself a notepad that's going to be, you know, something you can write a bunch in, and try to remember every day and time ever all this stuff happened, and even if it's just rough. And then you can just write down, you know, date, time, what happened, and then just keep up a log on that. Keep a running log. It really will pay off. You know, I recommend this to people just from the paranormal aspect. You know, when we go to cases and I, you know, listen to stories and I tell people, you know, it's really a good idea to do this. And for example, Spencer Hughes, you know, his house is incredibly haunted. And I really encouraged him, and he took to it like a duck to water, and he has got pages of stuff, and he was able to start seeing patterns. And, you know, when you get that all, you know, a month in, I think you're going to be surprised, because you'll start to get a feel for what he's trying to do. So, really do that, because I just think
first or second night after he passed, I was there in bed crying again, and I heard two words, it sounded like one of the nicknames he called me.
Well, he said two words to me, but I couldn't understand it. It was so I really am not sure what he was saying, but it was definitely two words. And he had it was kind of an interesting voice. It was not like, did he have an accent? And that might be why I just had some difficulty with it, but it wasn't your normal male voice. It was a little different, but you know, it was male. I could tell, but it wasn't normal. It sounded kind of almost rough, you know, kind of a bit earthy toned, you know, if you know what I mean. So, you know, I don't know if that's an aspect of you know, just him trying to get through and it just was whatever was interfering with it. But, you know, I'm pretty sure it was him. You know, once Kathy and I talked, it was like, oh, I know who's doing that. And he kind of took a break from me for a while, but he's back in force now, and I think he knew what this was going to go on tonight.
Yeah.
I did draw some things here just that come to me right off the bat. Do you own a car? Because I don't think you...
Yes, I do.
How are you doing on the maintenance of your car?
A little iffy. I just had an oil change.
How's the tires doing?
The tires seem to slip today coming around one of the turns.
Yeah, I wrote the tires and car, and it's like he's not, you know, if anything, it would be him just bringing up tires. You might want to look at your tires. So he's being a bit of a pest about your safety. So
yeah,
you might want to look at that. So, yeah, check the tires and, you know, have somebody look at them, and if you may have to do some stuff there. What's this bit with the star? He was like all over me about a star. Like, I got a 5-point star, and I don't know what this means, but he shows me a star, and I'm just not cluing in as to what this means. So, it's like a 5-point, you know, like a sheriff's, you know, like a sheriff's would wear, like a sheriff's star, you know, like the kind that you'd see a sheriff wear. Or a lawman?
Well, one of his names, he would call me Shining Star.
Oh. Okay. Two names for you, and I just, I wrote them down. They just popped out of the blue, and I don't know who these people are to you, but one's name is Elsa, and the other is Diane. And I drew a big circle around them. Do you know any of these names?
I have a cousin, Diane, but I hardly talk to her.
Okay, well, I don't, this might be on his side or something like that, but check for Elsa and Diane on his side.
Okay.
And see what's going on there. And you may find that there's going to be a reference there that it's something, oops, here's my computer trying to do this again. Restart later, damn it. Yeah, okay, so I'm going to be doing that the rest of the show going, you all paranoid for my computer. I'm sending Microsoft a letter. Damn you guys, when I'm on the air, don't do this. So anyway, I just get the feeling you're going to find out more there. Now, has he been doing something to you every night that's keeping you awake? Is that what I'm reading? I get the feeling like he's been there in your place every night, and he's doing something that's kind of keeping you up or is getting your attention. I mean, but I'm getting keeping you up almost. Is he doing this?
Well, I don't know if it's him doing it or I'm doing it. I know it gets very cold in my room, and I could swear someone's holding my hand or right up against me.
Okay. Just to stop you for a minute, I'm having tapping in my house here, just as I said that. I had a bunch of tapping over by my air conditioner, and I'm going to take one of the ear cups off and just listening in, because I was definitely hearing loud tapping, and there's no one within 400 feet of me right now, so okay. So I think that might be an agreement. Anyway, keep going.
But even if he wasn't here, I'd probably be keeping myself awake, just thinking
now,
about
Oh, there it goes again. Now another bang. Oh, I definitely heard that. That was closer. So I don't know if it's the house settling. I mean, I got to be fair, paranormally speaking, that it's awfully odd that we start talking about him and then all this starts happening.
Well, ask him to give one bang for yes and two bangs for no.
I won't tell him to slug me because he might just do it, but let's see. Just if that is you, make another noise for us, something that, or come across to do an EVP for us. That would be cool. You know, and I have to be honest, I was talking with Kathy, and we were talking about him, and I didn't say anything to Kathy, but I heard what I thought was a male voice on the R line earlier when we were not on air. It was before the show. And I thought I heard a male, and it was I thought it was maybe at her house. I'll ask Kathy to comment. Were there people talking when you and I were talking, Kathy? Was there anybody in the background talking that it could have been? So I want to make sure we rule that out because that's interesting. It just strikes me odd because you mentioned that earlier. What about his situation, because he was from Vegas, right? Las Vegas? He lived out there?
Yeah.
He's got concerns with family there in that area. He had family there, and there's something, he's disturbed about something that's going on there.
Yeah, she's not taking this well at all.
You know, who's not taking it?
His mom.
Mother. Is there a family that are helping her?
Not really. The daughter's back in New York City. His daughter calls her. I call her. Her brother and sister, his mother's brother and sister aren't much help. His half-sister, the one in New York, is a bit selfish.
Okay. He's kind of, what is six? What are you, six, he's showing me six, and I see a six. That could mean 6 days, June. I don't know when his birthday is, but, it's something is a six, the sixth day. But he's showing me a six, so I don't know what that's about. So I'm just going to mark it. And I'm just drawing
what
it
is
there.
It, September, October, November, December, January. No, that would be 4 months. His daughter and I are going to try and get out to Las Vegas January, February. But that's
okay,
not 6 months.
Okay, so February, that's, March would be 6 months, so he showed me a six. So that may be, just mark that in your mind, because I'm not getting any of the symbol to tie it together, so it's kind of, I don't know. Let me just see if he's offering anything else up here. He's worried about your safety with a car. He's returning to the car thing. He doesn't like what's going on with the car. He wants you to definitely get, it's like a tomorrow thing, to get that looked at. He's not happy about the car. And
yeah,
he's kind
of, I need the right oil filter as well, because it was kind of out of stock when I got my oil change. So I think I have a GMC oil filter and a Jeep right now.
Ah, so yeah, definitely get it, get this checked out early, so he's kind of, he's around watching over you. I mean, that's very clear to you, you're very aware of his presence. So, I mean, it's not as if you need to know, that he's okay, because he's definitely around, and believe me, he's made his presence known to Kathy and me, and I'm sure other people. And, has his mother picked up on him? Because that's
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But she's still not doing well with it. She's having, she's in real grief with this. Probably still pretty raw grief with the whole thing. Did he have his service already and he's been interred?
I think he's had a service. the last I talked to his mom, she was waiting for the ashes. She doesn't recall if there was a service.
Oh, my.
But, because her brother and sister and her daughter, his half-sister, took over, and it was a fiasco, supposedly.
Oh, so...
And I'm a little upset that... I know that Mom needed help with details, but it just seems like they ran the show and told her what to do, what not to do, and...
She was on autopilot. That's kind of the impression I'm getting from him, and she really wasn't in any condition to do anything other than just kind of go with the program. I think she was in shock losing her baby. I mean, she lost her son. And that's just a natural reaction. When somebody does pass, that's a very deep thing, and especially to a parent, that's not the natural order. You know, so, he's worried about her, but overall the impression I get from him is she's pretty tough. You know, she's going to pull out of this, but she's just needing, you know, comfort. I mean, you're calling her regularly, right?
I waited for his half-sister and everybody to go home before I called, because I know his half-sister didn't like me very much.
Well, that's basically too bad, huh? I mean, she's going to deal with it. Tough.
Yeah.
The immediate thing I got from him is tough luck. You know, so. I mean, that's just basically, I'm just kind of translating what he's saying. It's like tough luck. He doesn't really care what she thinks. And he's still got that inside of the personality. He's still internalizing the fact that, you know, he's got the spiritual stuff going on. So he's got that human kind of, I don't care. Are you going out there to see, you're going out there to see her in that time frame, right? March?
January or February. His daughter and his son are working on their visas and passports right now and saving up money.
I think it's going to be March. I think that's what that six means. I think the six is going to be a slight delay to March.
Okay. That,
I really
that's
think that.
Okay, and we'll be spreading his ashes where he wants them. Hopefully it's on his computer somewhere as to where.
Oh, you're having to try to... Have you managed to get into the computer?
No, it's being sent to his daughter, and she's going to try breaking into it.
You know, I could actually help you with that.
I know of two places. It's just where in one of those two places.
Well, major hint. If he did not encrypt the... just a little professional speak here. If he did not encrypt the drive, and here we go again with Microsoft. If he did not encrypt the drive, he would have, then it would be a case you could boot it up with a thumb drive.
Mm-hmm.
With Ubuntu. You can use Ubuntu Linux. Boot it up, and somebody who knows this, if you could find somebody who's a real techno geek like me, to boot that thing up, they can mount that drive, and then they can go in and they can actually change the passwords to what you need. So you can then break into it. So there's, you could take it to somebody who's got that kind of knowledge. And, you know, so if you can't get the password that way, major hint, there's another way to do that. And I've done that at my uncle's computer. I had to do that for my cousin.
She has a few techie friends over there, so.
Yeah, just mention thumb drive, Ubuntu, you know, break, physical security break system. They'll know what that means, and they can just go in and tweak it. If he encrypted the drive, then you're SOL. You can't get in. You got to have a password. So
they have a password hint, but nothing's working so far. So
okay,
hopefully,
so,
when the computer gets to her, she'll be able to figure it out.
Okay, so if she can figure it out, great. If not, you've got an alternative, and you know it is possible to do it. So hopefully he's got. You know, he's got something there that'll say where he wants to be. But you know, and that's the other big warning to people is think about this stuff. If you walked out the door tomorrow and something happens to you, have something talk it over with family what you want, and kind of leave a little few things, you know, so you have some, you know, they know what to do with your stuff and, you know, and all that. I mean, people don't plan to die, but it happens, you know, and so think about that. You know, this is kind of an abject lesson there. Now, the final, you know, he's kind of just sitting back idle, and he's got a big smile on his face. This is, you got anything else, dude? I think he's... Did he was, yeah, I remember you telling, you know, he's talking about writing. There's a bunch of stuff on the computer.
Yes.
There's a book on the computer.
Yes.
There's a book.
We want
a whole book.
We'd like to publish it.
Oh, my God. That, so he is big on this. He's, I don't think he encrypted it. I don't think he knew. Did he have technical, a lot of technical knowledge, or was he just sort of the everyday?
Yeah, he did. He would tweak he would visit someone and tweak their computers while they were in the bathroom.
Okay. Well, I get the feeling he didn't do that. So I hope I think you're going to get lucky on this one, but,
his mom said.
Yeah, he wants you to, he's going to do everything in his power to help with this whole book thing.
His mom did say that he didn't want it published, but when I was talking to him, I think he was coming around to wanting it published. I'm still on the
phone. Yeah. That book it's going to be interesting. He wants, trying to get the feeling away. He's trying to tell me it's complicated here. I know he wants you to have some words to say about it, and something to do with you writing, but there's another person involved here. And I am, like, completely mystified. It's a woman, and it's mom.
Okay.
His mother. So I think the people that cared about him most, he's wanting them all to work together.
Okay.
If I read this right, and he seems to be okay with that I'm getting it right. So yeah, the book is a big deal to him. It's his legacy type of thing. And he wants that out there. There was some other mini story type, smaller stories too, right? He wrote smaller.
A lot of poetry.
He wants that kind of assembled too.
Okay.
So get that all together and find the stuff that you know you love and like, and then compile that into something. So there's more than one. And music. What's with the music? Was he a musician?
No. One of the last things that I sent him that he wanted, because he wanted to do something with it, was my music piece that Kathy has played.
Oh, okay. Because, yeah, I heard music, and it was like he was just, you know, he's emphasizing this music thing. So, I wonder if he's trying to mix it in to do some sort of a, I don't know, but he's mentioned the music. He's starting to kind of pull back a bit. So, Jay. Who's Jay? Jay what? Jerry? Jerry? Am I hearing that right?
Jilly?
I'm thinking. Say again?
Jilly?
Yeah, I couldn't tell what he was saying. It sounded like Jerry to me, but, you know, Jilly would work.
Jenny,
who's Jilly?
We did that back and forth. We always did that back and forth, the Jilly and the Really. Jilly, Jen, I love you, and Richie, I love you.
Oh, my God. So you called it Jilly?
Well, he would say Jilly on the computer.
That's funny. Okay. So I was sitting there, I was like going, what the hell is he saying? So he's just closing. So that was what he would do at the end of a thing like that. You'd close and you'd say, Jilly, I love you?
Well, no. J-I-L-Y, Jen, I love you. And then I would say, really, R-I-L-Y, Richie, I love you.
Oh, I get it. So he's just, you know, that's a little code to tell you that he loves you. So, and I was interpreting Jerry, so, okay. So he's telling you he loves you again, you know, as if he'd ever doubted.
A couple of times.
A couple of times. So, he's got some, I know this, it's because he's pulling back, but he's just kind of giving the impression that, just hang in there. And he liked the idea of me with the notes. So keep the notes, of everything going on. Because I'm just getting the last thing. He wants you to write a book about all this. He wants you to write about this. So keep a log of everything going on, even your own feelings that are not so much the paranormal, but write down all the paranormal stuff and then what's going on with this. And it will actually become something you can actually turn into a book, because what you have to say is valuable, is what he's saying. Your voice matters. Okay. So that's it, this is the way of memorializing what you two had together, is what I'm getting here. Yeah. So he's really pulling back. He's saying, I'm done.
Do I get a smile if you lock my bedroom door on me?
He thinks that's funny. He was a practical joker, and he thinks that's funny, and it's not over. But not by a long shot. Yeah. I think you're going to get goosed personally, but just watch out. So if you're in the bathroom.
Go for it.
Goosing. Okay.
You have something about, I got to watch if I'm cooking using the oven.
I was just thinking about something with the stove, as a matter of fact, before you said that. No, he's not going to do that. I've thought about it, and I'm going, don't you dare light the house on fire, for God's sakes.
No. If I bend down to get something, I'm going to get goosed, most likely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, I think that would be right up his alley. Yeah, that or, bending over in the refrigerator or whatever. But, yeah, I think he's definitely, he pretty much gave it his all tonight. I don't think you're going to have too much with him tonight. But you'll just be aware he's around. He's making his presence well known to a lot of people. And he's a busy boy, to the least. Yeah, and Debbie, I'm sure Debbie is very aware of him. So, the whole crew over there with the medium circle. I'm still trying to not say big, but medium circle, which is us, and I kind of like that. I'm going to trademark that.
For years he was researching and experimenting with bioenergy, and when he was in Poland, he didn't go to college, but he participated in the psychic studies that they had at the colleges and different things. Research and
yeah, I think he just strikes me as an extremely intelligent, caring human being, and very sensitive, and yet so direct. Definitely a man, a very tough man, very respected. Is the thing I get from him. Somebody you take notice of. He's not one of these people you walk by and you just see, a blank look on his face. This guy is like intense. He had an intensity about him, and he still has that on the other side. But, in the physical life, this was a person you'd look at and you walk by and you would walk by and say that you'd say to yourself, that's somebody, and that's kind of the feel I get. And he had a lot of people that really liked him, he was well liked wherever he was. Right. That's the distinct thing I get with him. A lot of people there in Vegas, he was friends with a lot of people over there in Vegas, right? He had a big community around him?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, I get a feeling it impacted more people than just a small group. Let's just say that.
Yeah, he would call himself a Polish hermit.
Oh, really? Well, did he, with his poetry and all that, he was pretty well read, right?
What do you mean?
Did people read his poetry? Did people know of him?
Yes, he started a forum. And
okay.
A lot of amateur writers, but mostly from Poland or Polish speaking.
See, that's the thing I'm talking about. And what happened when he passed, or they all know this, right? They're all aware of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's made some waves, to say the least.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's, the big thing is to get the word out that he made the transition just fine, and he graduated early out of there, and he found he's out haunting my ass and Kathy's hanging out with us. So I'm going to see him tonight, I'm sure. Just know that he's doing good and he loves you dearly. And this the Jerry thing, the Jilly, that's a good one. I'm sitting there going, G, I know it's a J thing, but what are you saying? There's an R thing and Jilly.
Yeah.
I like that.
So did I.
So anyway, well, I hope that helps, my dear.
It does.
Just keep doing, you know, it's a day-by-day thing, and it's not, when somebody you love passes, it's a tough deal, you know. I mean, I keep telling myself, like, when my dad, you know, this happens with my father, that I'm going to be okay with it, you know, that I won't have any feelings, and yet I know, right off the bat, you know, I'm just kidding myself, you know, you know, what's neat about it is I was told we had 3 years when we had the stroke in 07. And when I say we, it is a stroke for the whole family. The person who had the stroke has it, but so does the whole family. It changes everybody's lives.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really something to see that the way things have changed. And, you know, when he's gone, it's going to be a real interesting shift. You know, you just have to... You think you're going to handle it, and then you see other people go through an actual death, and you go, yeah, well, okay. You know, but I am really bugging my father, though, because I keep telling him, I just want to hear 3 words, you know, when you first contact me after you get over there. And he goes, what? What do you want me to say? And I'll say, you were right, and then put at the end, John. Such a skeptic. It's like, yeah, I'm going to be sitting there going, yeah, yeah, spit it out. You were right. There we go. Now we're talking. So, yeah, I'm just going to be laughing my ass off when he does that. So that'll make me feel a lot better, you know. But, yeah, that's my code word for him, you know. I mean, and I really think that it's funny. I've been studying in the mediumship classes and stuff and people who love each other, who come up with little code words to say that you, and they don't tell anybody else, you know, what was the code that we had, and then that way, oh, and Sherry's just saying her brother just died of a massive brain stroke. Oh, I'm so sorry, Sherry. You know, everybody, you know, say a prayer for Sherry there in the chat room, because we do know what stroke is. It's horrible. But anyway, you know, I just lost track of what I was saying. Darn it. Brain dead. Say again?
That's okay.
Yeah, brain dead. I mean, but, yeah, bottom line is, you know, it's hard to get through. You're going to get through this. You're allowed to cry. You're doing that, and it's a good thing. It's not meant to, you know, be so easy. But, you know, say prayers for them, too. They love when we pray for them. They love when we take time to remember them. And, you know, and that's, Sherry, that's the same thing, you know, for your brother. Pray, you know, give him prayers, or just talk to him. You know, it's almost the same thing. You know, just talk to him. Tell him how you feel, you know. You know, just include them in the family, you know, as if they were still there. The Hawaiians have a wonderful tradition with this kind of thing. Where they honor the dead, and the dead are part of the family forever, you know. I mean, they bring, you know, grandma in. Grandma's been gone 20 years. Well, grandma's at the party, you know, and they talk to her, and it's like, you know, that's the way it is. And when I first encountered that it was in 1994 I learned about that. And I worked with a Hawaiian at our electrosystems division at Azusa, and it was just so neat, you know, that they believe that strongly and are sure of their facts so strongly that the dead are part of every day. And I think that's the right way to approach it. So, you know, and I think that's what you're doing. I think that's what you're doing, Clay.
I hope, you know, I just hope everything's going to be okay. And
it will be. You're around friends. You're still talking to people. You know, you're calling on this show. You're talking to everybody. You're living your life, and you're getting up, and you just keep breathing. You know.
Yeah, that's about all I can do.
Yeah, and it's okay.
I'll never be able to replace him, though. So.
It's not. You know, I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Yeah, that was something I was going to say for later, but you know, since you brought it up, is one of their biggest things is after you go through the full grieving process, is they want you to have love again. They're not so selfish that they think that you are going to be forever tied to them. It's like you have an earthly life and an earthly need for love and an earthly need for contact and physicalness and closeness, and that's a natural thing. And they actually will try to fix you up. I mean, that's kind of the thing. I mean, and I know it's early for you. I mean, so don't take this as, you know, just for go there. I mean, you got to go through this whole process. You know, you're still at the beginning steps. But, you know, it's so funny. I mean, I've been reading and immersing myself in mediumship and reading all the stories and seeing what other mediums talk about and what, you know, the kinds of, you know, things that happen when people come to them. And more often than not, you know, here's all these spirits that are going, I wish they would just not, you know, not feel like they have to spend their life alone. That's not right, you know, and push them, and they get that message out there. And, you know, I really think he's working through it with you, you know, and as things progress, that's going to be a priority for him to look at you and say, hey, you need a love life. You know, this getting alone stuff don't work, you know. You know, you're still on the side. You got lessons to learn. Hey, you. And so I think that's what's going to happen. It's it's fairly natural.
He knows he's more than welcome to be walk in and knock on my front door.
Yeah, I think if he was going to knock on your door, that's going to be interesting. I'd like to be there to record it and then EVP it. But I just think that you're going to hit a point where things are going to change a little bit, and it's a growth process, and it doesn't feel like that now, and that's natural. But you know, as human beings, we're meant to be loved, we're meant to be held, we're meant to be close. And I've just seen countless stories in the last 3 weeks of really studying this of you know, people who've gone through this, and you know, and to a spirit on the other side, they all say the same thing. It's like, you know, get out there and get back in the game. You know, but it's usually at least 6 months to 12 months, sometimes a little longer. But it's not meant to be a lifetime of seclusion, no, by all means, no. So, you know, you will love again, and you'll never quit loving him for who he is. And that's the important message here. He will always be there with you.
Good.
So, yeah, so... You've been lucky. You had somebody that really loved you, and that's forever. So you've done good.
I did good, yeah. You did short
good.
Term, but I did good.
You did good, and you know what? That's you learned a big set of lessons, and that might be part of your book. You know, that might be part of the book that's in you, is to talk about the lessons that you learned from that. And there's, you know, big revelations to come yet. That's the other thing. He's really pulled back, but that's kind of the feel I get. He's kind of nodding, and that's the sense I get from him is big revelations to come.
Okay.
So you've got a lot to learn yet, and it's not for them to reveal everything, but he's just smiling about it. So he knows more than he's going to let on.
Yeah, I know, and I, you know, there's nothing for us to talk about anymore because he knows everything about me.
There's plenty for him to talk about with you. He's still worried about your day-to-day stuff. He's worried about your tires. He's worried about how you're feeling. He's worried about what you're going to be doing when you cry. You know, he's worried about, you know, how you're going to, you know, what changes you're going to go through. He's still there with you in the now. You know, so, I mean, you know, that's, it's that tight with you guys. And, it won't change. You know, things will, shift a little bit when it starts to fade a little bit. But, you know, the intensity will still be there, but you're going to have other things that will come through. And, but he'll still be there. You know, it's like my grandmother. I mean, I was real close to my grandmother, and she passed, you know, in 1995. And, you know, occasionally she pops in. It's so funny. I mean, I thought I'd never get over it. It's like, now it's just like she actually came through in an ITC session, and I was laughing because it's like, she's going, oh, it's my Johnny. And I caught that on EVP, and I was going, and that's what she would just say. That's like her. She would say that. She called me her Johnny. And I love that. You know, I just laughed. And then my grandfather, who I never really knew, my dad's side, he died when I was a real young kid. He was a well-known neurosurgeon, you know, famous scientist, and I don't have any recordings of his voice or anything, but he identified himself as my grandfather, and then he's talking about how fascinated he is with what I'm doing with this work, and it would be just like him, you know, based on what my mother was talking about with me about him. So, you know, they come through, and they're part of your life, and you're so lucky because he's like making it so clear, and their love is so good. That he's right there with you all the time, you know, and he makes it known. So.
Yeah, he does. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, keep going. What was that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that I was having issues with the muscles in my neck and my shoulder a couple of nights ago, and I was laying on my side, and the side that was giving me the problems was up, of course, and I was just trying to relax it. And I felt this finger just press down on that one trigger point, and everything relaxed. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Well, he's, yeah, that would be him. And I think you're so open to this that it's not a surprise, and there's no worry about contact, physical or, you know, spiritual. You may actually, I don't know, have you had dreams yet with him?
The way everything is situated with Norman Bates downstairs yelling at himself, the guy next to me slamming his kitchen cabinets because his kitchen is right on my bedroom, and just, you know, people calling me. No, he talks to his father downstairs or something.
Oh, okay.
Just random people calling me. When I'm dozing off, it's just very hard to remember anything in my dreams.
Oh, God. Well, you've heard me talk about this before, but if you really do want to try to remember some of them, get yourself some mugwort. Talk to the health food, you know, folks. Tell them any drugs you're on, and talk to your doctor if you really need to. But I use mugwort to help me when I really want to kind of kickstart my dreams. I have the same trouble. I don't remember dreams very well. But I've found just creating a mugwort tea really does the job. Boy, you'll remember your dreams. You don't want to overdo it; you'll get nightmares. So you kind of play with the dose and just start small and then ease up, and you'll start noticing you're remembering things. You know that you pick up in the evening when you do go out, and we do all go out, and we do leave our bodies. We do have conversations, and we do these things. You know, every night. We do this stuff, and so give it a shot, you know, at least look into it. It'll help a bunch, you know. And I don't know how your sleeping is right now. I mean, are you still having trouble with sleep? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that'll pass. You're going to get better with it. So
I mean, I was having trouble sleeping before him, and then when he came into my life, I started sleeping like a baby, and then I'm back to not really sleeping very well, sleeping short spurts.
It'll get better. Purple britches. What the hell are purple britches? Sherry and Kathy and John's purple britches. I will admit I wear colored underwear, but I don't have anything purple. No, ain't going to happen. So. I got red, okay? You know, it's a passionate thing. Hey, you know, I'm Scottish. Come on. At least I don't wear a skirt. Come on. Anyway. pronounced Portuguese, but it's Portuguese Azores, and it turns out my Portuguese side is actually Celtic. They were the Celts who landed in Peak and St. George. So I've actually got, and these Celtics were Vikings, so I'm mostly Celtic. And I do not wear skirts or purple breeches. Thank you. Anyway,
okay.
We're now right. Done up underwear. All right. Well, hey, darling. Yeah, you're doing good.
Thank you, my God.
Southern for pants, John. Well, I don't know that. Purple breeches. Jeez. Kathy, yeah, you Southern people, you talk different out there, don't you? I got that down. So anyway, dear, I mean, sorry, we're getting weird here. It's getting late at night, so it's 11 o'clock. We got 30 more minutes here. But,
oh, wow. Thank you for all the time spent with me.
No trouble, darling. You know, I knew you needed it. So, you know, we love you. And just call any time. And if you want to do a private reading, I can set some time aside.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, if he starts coming around again, let me know.
I guarantee you he will be. He took about a week break, and now he's made it very clear he's got some more stuff to say, so trust me. Yeah, I'll give you a yell and let you know, because I got a feeling this weekend is not going to be quiet. So.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Okay. Well, hey, you want me to just keep you on the line and listen in?
Sure.
Okay, we'll do that. And then, let's see. There you go, Quinny. I'm going to just keep you on. And we got a 200 number. I think that's going to be a Skype number who's been waiting. Hello, Skype 200 number that called in. Can you hear me?
You talking to me?
Oh, God, I think it's probably you. Are you talking? Who we got here?
Is this Sherry?
Well, hi, Sherry.
Hi. Oh, I'm surprised. I have nothing to say, really. My first
time. Oh, you had your hand up, and I was like going, well, I'll take the next hand up there, and it was like and I was like.
Here's the truth. I never get picked in any of the shows I ever visit, so I'm shocked. I really don't have much to add. I'm rather enjoying the chat room, though. I think ghosts. I have gifts, but don't really tell many people about it because it's too weird, and I'm just enjoying the show very much. And I did have a recent death in my family, the first one out of 9 kids. The baby died, you know, my baby brother. And so I'm kind of hooking up to some of these Blog Talk radio shows concerning paranormal and, you know, psychics and stuff, just to kind of, you know, see what I get. Because I kind of do it on my own, but I like being around other people that do it, too.
That's how it started for me. I mean, I got on Blog Talk and just started listening to all the shows. I never thought I'd end up doing one, but I was listening to stuff. And being around all these people, it really is, it's good for you.
The energy. Yeah, and it's synergistic. I've been seeing, actually it started out with animals. I would see ghost animals. And I've evolved leaps and bounds since then. 35 years later, I'm, like I said in the chat room, I can hear conversations that are miles away, as if it's happening right in front of me. And then when I see that person, I go, hey, were you just talking about, and then I'll say it, and they'll go, oh, my God, yeah. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, you were talking about pets. It strikes me, because it's funny. I mean, we have kind of a, you know, I've lived out here in Shingle Springs for the last, 35 years.
Uh-huh.
And we built this property up from nothing. And so we've had a lot of pets and, you know, over the years, I mean, this is a lot of dogs and cats.
Yeah. Right.
But we have a pet cemetery. We actually have a cemetery on the property here for all our pets. And we've had periodic contact with our cats. The dogs never seem to come back, but our cats do. And we've had repeated visits by the different cats. And I was just curious, I mean, you said you're hearing them. Now, can you describe that? Because that's a new one for me, actually, to hear them.
The conversations aren't with the animals. It's with humans. But I'll describe what I do. Well, okay. I have a long history of the animal sightings. I see them just as if they're alive, except it's more see-through misty, you know, the usual whitish kind of glowing. But I see every feature. And it just started out, and I'll tell you the truth. I had, I don't know the terms, because I'm not really, I don't do techie talk with the paranormal, because I just don't. But I ran over a ghost dog is what I did. And what he was doing was he was repeating his death. And how I know that is because my car went right through it. No thud, no thump, no nothing. And when I looked over to see what the hell did my car just go through, it was him again on the side of the road sitting there like, yeah, I'm all good. And it was clearly a ghost. And I would imagine he keeps revisiting the site of his death over and over and over, and I just got to witness one of his reenactments. And then I see cats levitate. I've seen cats dissolve and then reappear in different areas. It's very, very weird. And
Yeah, I mean, we've had, in our case, I mean, we just had one of our cats, we've had 17 years, Bitty. You know, B-I-T-T-Y, Bitty. She was a little teeny Persian cat, and just a sweetheart, and she kind of ruled the house.
Of course.
And she was just a, you know, the light of my dad's and mom's life. I mean, everything was around this cat. And she got so old, she had to be put down. She was having kidney failure. She had kidney cancer. She was just in a real bad place. And
she's
we didn't see her here for 3 weeks. And my mother, this was a few weeks ago, I got up and went up to check on them, and my mom pops up to me and says, "Hey, just had an experience." And I said, "What?" And she goes, "Oh, your dad and I were in bed, and I was reading, and all of a sudden I felt Bitty jump on the bed, and I didn't even think twice, and I reached my hand out, and she felt Bitty walk over to her and then flop down right next to where her hand was, and then she realized."
I totally believe it. Yep.
Yeah. And then she looked over, and then the feeling just went away. And it was,
you know,
like,
the weird thing about that is I would expect that with a relationship, you know, because she's had that cat for 17 years. I expect that. I think that's totally normal. Of course, that's going to happen. But, you know, and I think everyone's probably capable of being that sensitive to, you know, oh, there's the spirit of my beloved. But then to take it a step further, a total random dog on a random street. You know, I felt very blessed that I was able to see this poor spirit having to relive his, I would assume he was hit by a car and died. So, you know, it's the same but different. You know, I think I got to see this poor dog having to relive his death over and over, whereas Bitty, bless her heart, she keeps going back to somewhere she loves.
Yeah, it was like she hasn't appeared again. It was at one time, but I do think she'll be back. It's going to be like an occasional thing. And what I did was, before she passed, I'm friends with Debbie Daly, or not, well, why would I say that? Debbie Daly. Debbie Caruso, excuse me. Debbie Caruso, who passed on the other side, you know, she passed in January of this year, and she ended up, really taking to, you know, she was an EVP researcher and I'd actually talked with her once. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Kathy, you know, is my co-host here tonight. Dealt
Hi,
with
Kathy.
Her quite a bit. And so, before Bitty died, I actually asked Kathy, you know, or Debbie to, you know, would she please come get her when she passed?
Aww.
So, she, and I checked later, and she said she'd been there when Bitty passed and they had taken her in. And so what I feel is that, and I have to confirm it with her, I'm going to ask her, was it you who brought her back to visit? And then I'll ask if she can do it again and see if we can set something up.
I have to be honest, I think they can do it all on their own. But I mean, I really do believe that. But, you know, it never hurts to come with a friend, you know?
Yeah, I really think so, too, because we have another cat that does this, you know, that occasionally he's been gone, oh, God, I'm trying to remember what his name is. Oh, God, I'm forgetting all my cats' names now. I've had so many.
Yeah.
I racket. Raunchy. Paunchy was the one. Paunchy passed, you know, this was about, you know, a good 17 years ago. And and I actually caused his death. I felt so bad. He was old and he had tumors in his ears, in the ear area. And he went and he curled up under my Camaro tires, the rear tires, and I didn't see him. And there was no, he was a little small cat. And I ran right over him. And, you know, I backed out to go to work and boom, I just killed the cat. And I felt horrible. And he was like, you know, just the neatest cat. Well, he actually survived the first, you know, bit, but my mother had to put him down. It was
bad.
It was horrible. I mean, I was it was like killing a family member. I felt
horrible.
Can
I tell you something? I have a very close relationship with my animals, and I feel it. I feel your pain because it is. It's horrifying when they die.
It was horrible. And I'll tell you what, the one time I've actually seen a spirit animal was that time. I saw him running from his body after she put him down. I saw him. And I was just beside myself. I mean, it was horrible. But he had a real close relationship with my mother, and more than once, at least it's like three times a year, she'll be out in the garden, and one of his favorite things to do was hang out with her gardening, and he'd get gophers. He thought that was he'd like wait for her to, you know, she'd say, "Hey, we're going to get gophers," and he knew what that meant, and she'd stick them on the gophers, and then he'd turn up with a gopher. Well, she's out there working and repeatedly, and she'll come back and tell me, "John, Paunchy's back." And I go, "What do you do this time?" And, you know, the last time he did it was just here, you know, a couple months back. He came in and was pushing in on her leg. And she heard him walking around, and then it was gone. And it's just
saying hi. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, oh, yeah, thank you, Elizabeth, because, yeah, everybody, I shared it with a lot of friends, you know, back then, and I was just a wiped-out wreck, and, I mean, I killed my own, it was like my best buddy. I mean, I
know.
It was horrible. But he was dying, you know, and he chose me, you know, someone that really helped me feel better about it is he chose me to be the one to help take him out, and I was like, yeah, it sucks, though, you know, and even
can
then,
I tell
now,
you
like,
yeah. Oh, go on, I'm sorry.
Yeah, even now it just tugs at my heart. You know, it's just like, oh, God, I hate that. I hated it.
What you just said made me remember a human experience. What you just said about he chose you, you know, to help him pass. You know, in his experience of passing, you were the last possible face he saw, right?
Yeah.
And what it tapped into when my little brother died, the baby of the family, I did not have a close relationship with him. Of all the brothers and sisters, we were kind of mortal enemies. We were very much alike. We talked real fast. We couldn't understand each other. Our favorite sentence was, "What did you just say?" Because we both talked really fast. And we just clashed. It was two powerful energies, like, you know, catapulting for the next sentence, you know? Anyway, we just didn't get along. When he passed, guess who was the only person in the room? Me.
Oh, my God.
And I had to fly from Texas to Cincinnati, and I was the only member of the family. They were waiting on me to turn off the machines. And everyone kind of got tired of waiting for him after they shut down the machines, but it took him hours. And, you know, they'd go and smoke or go and get coffee, and I never left the room. And before he took his final breath, I was kind of leaned up against the wall, and something pulled my head and snapped it straight up, and I dove on him and screamed, "No!" And then he died. I just had a connection with this death, and it was really bizarre. It's like, why me? There's seven other brothers and sisters, a mom and a dad, and I'm the only one in here? You know, well, the doctor, the nurse and stuff was in there. But, I mean, as far as family members, I was it. His new wife was there, and her family, and me. Bizarre, huh?
It's bizarre, but, you know, the impression I get right off the bat was that, you know, past life stuff with the two of you having such similarities, and your connection was so strong, you being the only biological family member there. You were really the point person for that to happen.
Yeah.
And that's an, that's, it's sort
I feel
of
honored, thing. Actually. Yeah.
It really was. It was chosen that you be the one there, and it was a lesson for you about death.
Well, it
love.
Is, because I have to tell you, ever since then, I think about him more than I ever, if you added it all up, I've had more thoughts about him and a loving feeling than I ever did when he was alive. I have a better relationship, and I just think he's wonderful. And, you know, I talk to him all the time. It's wonderful, and, you know, I talk to him just like I've made my peace. How's that?
Yeah, it is. That's the way it is. It's when they get to the other side, all that human stuff goes away. You know.
Oh, God, yeah.
Their perfection of their spirit comes through, and they still retain their human personality. There's no doubt that that's there.
Oh, yeah.
It's awful. they get past that other thing, and there was a lesson to be learned there. And you know, it's just. What strikes me is how similar that was. I had the experience of and the gift of seeing my Uncle Mike, who had mesothelioma, die in 2003. And I was projected into a space. I was the only psychically aware person in the room, and I got there, and I knew instantly I was going to be central in the middle of this whole thing. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I doing? And my aunt, who was the only other person who had me a gift of any kind, was there, and she's like completely a basket case, so it's really me. And yeah. I'm watching my Uncle Mike go through all this stuff, and he's on a feeding tubes, and you know his family, his immediate family were all there.
Yeah.
And I really bonded with his sister, and she was, you know, and I found myself saying things I had no idea I knew these things. I was channeling.
Channeling. Yep.
Oh yeah, and it's like, okay, this is what they're going to do with the feeding tube, and this is how they're going to do it, and they're going to ease him in, and this, you know. They're letting him go, and this is what they're going to do. I'd never been told any of this stuff, and I'm sitting here just rattling it off, and I'm going, where is this friggin' coming from?
I love you when know? That happens to me.
Oh.
I know how that comes. I mean, for me, I don't know how it comes to you, but I know what you're talking about. It's just this flow of knowing.
Yeah,
you know?
That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly. It was just the most powerful experience. And you, what was funny was, you know, I'm – you know, I'm one of these touchy-feely people, you know. I'm kind of like Italians, you know. hands are moving all the time. That's how I am. And I grab people and I hug them a lot, you know. So I'm one of these huggers. And so it's not, I don't have a problem showing love. And when I said goodbye to him, I, you know, pulled him close and kissed him and said, you know, I'm going to miss you, Uncle Mike. I love you. And he was kind of out of it. And he snapped back in for just a second. He looked right at me. And he was just like looking at me, and then he just nods and smiles, and that was it. You know, and he was, I knew he was within an hour. I knew right then it was an hour away, and I wanted to not be the last person. So I backed off, grabbed my Aunt George and said, we got to get out of here. Let the family be there for this.
Well, you know what? I'm glad your family cooperated, because you know what? I went up to tell my family, all of them that was still, you know, kind of lounging in the lounge area. Honestly, you know, they were just getting emotionally drained waiting for him to go. You know, they stood a long time. The nurse and the doctor said after they disconnect, it'd probably be about an hour. Well, it was way into the fourth hour. And honestly, they had to go to the bathroom, smoke cigarettes, drink coffee. They were kind of all in the lounge. I dashed down the hall and said, you guys really got to come in the room. You have to. That's the first time I ever addressed my family. And I meant it. And I ran back to the room, and shortly after that is when he died, but no one came. It's like, you know, whatever. You know, it wasn't because they didn't. It was just, that's just the way it was. It's just the way it happened. And one more thing before, I don't want to take up more time, but one more event happened.
You're fine.
After he passed, we were at my mom's, I guess the next day, it's all kind of a blur, but it was shortly after that I had the occasion of sitting at my mom's table, and his wife, his new bride, was sitting next to me, and my sister was sitting on my other side. And we got to talking. I was looking at their wedding pictures. I hadn't even seen them yet. They had just got married. And I was looking at them, he got a wedding ring. You know, because some of our male members of the family don't wear wedding rings. And I said, oh, he got a wedding ring. And she said, oh, yeah, you want to see it? I have it with me. I went, sure. Being the moron that I am, I didn't even think about it. I put it on my finger, and instantly I couldn't get my breath. It was like a concrete was on my chest. I couldn't breathe, and I felt I needed to say something to his wife as if I was my dead brother and dying brother. And I hurried up and took the ring off to kind of stop the flow of knowing. And I will never make that mistake again. I picked up on his...
Yeah.
It scared the hell out of me. It was just like, no. Don't want to do that again.
Yeah, you basically did a combination of channeling and psychometry.
It was weird.
It was like a connection through the ring. And that was sort of the thing I got. I mean, I felt family members, you know, it's funny because I was family from the other side there to help cross him, you know. That's why I wanted to get every, you know, I wasn't like a blood relative, you know. It was just, you know, he married into our family, you know, my mother's side. And, you know, married my, you know, my aunt, Lee. And so, you know, he was Uncle Mike, but, you know, not my real uncle per se.
Real Mike, right.
Yeah. So I, you know, it was really, you know, I just felt it was time to get out of there and back off, you know. And it was so funny to watch all the other, you know, because when I demonstrated that kind of love, you know, it was like I backed off and I felt like it really helped. And his sister did come up to me after, because I was just getting something to leave, and she goes, "You have no idea what you've done and how you helped it." It was like, I was still going, I look at her and I says, "I don't even know what the hell I just did."
You know, I relate to that because, you know, after we had the memorial, his wife actually did the same thing to me. She said, "You know, the other night when you put Chris's ring on and then took it off and handed it to my sister, when you handed it to your sister," she said, "Tell me what you saw." I said, "What do you mean?" You know, acting like, you know, nothing happened. She said, "I know you felt something." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "I saw it. I was looking at you." So I told her, I said, "Well, actually, I was feeling what he felt as he was dying." And she said, "Anything else?" I said, "Yeah, he was trying to tell you something." And for the life of me, I don't know what it was, because he was dying and he couldn't. And I think he wanted to say, "I love you," but I'm not sure. And that's all I could tell her, because that's all I know. But she said, "Thank you," and that was it, you know. End of story.
It's an amazingly powerful thing when people are going, and when you go through it, it's such a spiritual experience. I mean, I remember a dear friend of mine who is actually, she's an older lady, and she was my father-in-law's mother, and just a sweetheart. And she ended up with, I think, kidney cancer. And we loved her dearly. Her name was Doris, and just loved her to death. And she got this disease, you know, and she passed very quickly. It was actually a godsend that she went the way she did. And I'd seen her, you know, 2 weeks earlier, and she looked great, you know. And then she took a sudden turn for the worse. And so we got there, you know, up in Placerville where she was at, and, you know, went to the convalescent hospital they had her in. And she was just very near, you know, you could tell it was near. And we visited with her for a while, and she was, they were denying her food. They were just taking that away. And
right. Just like hospice type care, yeah.
Yeah, so they were, pushing it back. And she kind of acknowledged this. I saw a little movement when we would talk. And we went to go out the door, and I went back and I whispered in her ear. And I know I was like the second person to the last that ever spoke to her, you know, really significantly. And I said, "You know what, Doris, it's okay for you to go, you know, and, you know, your husband's going to be there for you," because he passed many years earlier. I said, "He's there waiting for you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to prove anything to anybody by hanging out here, you know." And I said, I know you're going to be leaving soon, so just wanted to let you know I love you, and, you know. And I did that, and it was the neatest thing, because the next day she did pass, and, you know, my father-in-law said she was really peaceful. And
What they say is very important, to urge the dying loved one to move on and to let go when you know that they're dying, you know, to encourage them to just, you know, go to the light and stuff. And we did do that with my brother, and I agree with it, you know.
Yeah.
to tell them it's okay.
Yeah, I just think it's going to be, it's a good experience for everybody. I think every human being has to have this kind of an experience to get to understand it. We throw death, you know, kind of in this big box and don't want to deal with it.
Yeah.
It can be this really neat experience if you let it be.
Well,
it's just,
you know,
tough.
What?
The hard part is when they're not. You know.
Oh, there. You're back. I lost you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Is your computer doing the...
it's a little bit weird right now. Yeah, we're matter of fact, I mean, we're coming up on about 5 minutes now.
Yeah.
We got about
I'll
4 minutes.
I'll check in on the show. When are you guys on? This is my first trip in here, so...
Oh, hey,
are you here?
Yeah. We're here. This is, you know, our Soulstream shows, which is what you're on right now, are on every Thursday at 9:30 Pacific. That's
okay.
12:30 Eastern. And then on Sundays, I have the GRA, you know, Paranormal Radio, our normal interview show. Sometimes it's a Soulstream. Depends on if I got a guest or not. And I do have a special guest, and that's 8 o'clock Pacific, 11 Eastern. On Sundays, and we have a very special guest from a very famous paranormal building complex who's going to be on, and she's a
like Lilydale.
It's something similar to that, but I won't say what yet. It's
you teaser! You're a tease. I love it. So this Sunday.
Yeah, this Sunday, and she's agreed to come on, and so she's going to be dialing in, and you guys are going to get a real treat with her. She's.
Can you tell me the name of the radio show on Sunday? Because I don't know.
Oh, it's the same one. www.blogtalkradio.com/ghostwriter.
Okay.
You can look up the URL and you'll see. And she's just she's a real joy, and she's really worked hard on renovating this place. So, you guys, for everybody listen in on that one. It's gonna be a fun show. We're gonna have a great time.
I can't wait. You'll see me there. I had a great time. Nice meeting you, John. Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right, Siri. Hey, thanks a
lot.
All
right.
I'm glad I stepped on you there.
Hey, I'll talk soon.
Okay.
Bye bye.
See you later. And it's going to be cool because she's had some recent dealings with the Ghost Adventures crew, our guest that's coming on, and Sherry there is a sweetheart. I hope she calls in again soon. Anyway, we have had a great show tonight and done a little bit of everything. I'm going to go ahead and do the shout out here. We've got a couple of minutes left. It's Sherry.ca. Oh, first we have Kathy, my co-host. God, big tip of the hat there. She's got the big boot button. Then Sherry.ca, hello to you. Sherry Thorne, and everybody say a prayer for her brother. You know, that's a tough one there. So we're with you, my friend. Dominica, we love you. Big hug to you, dear. Elmar, we got Joy. Hey, Joy. Big hug to you, Fire Witch. Giraffe Angel, hey! And you know what? I haven't forgotten to send you that. I'm going to send you that MP3. I haven't forgotten. We got a couple of guests out there, and then we got Mother Jerry. Other People's Eyes. I like that name. That's cool. Randazzo 77, and then we got Scott Wise, GHI, the Beermeister, and then we got the Voice of Reason, and Veronica V. And so we got everybody in here. Let's see. What other thing do I think we have coming up here? Don't forget, I'm going to do that special mobile broadcast next week. So just check the show schedule. Got it all, everything all lined up. And I'll definitely come up with, maybe we'll have a call in and we'll just tell ghost stories and things that we've had happen while I test all the different functions of my mobile broadcast capability. Studio C, the Mustang. So anyway, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to go ahead and sign it off tonight. And thank you, all of you, for being part of our show every week, and we love you guys. So with that, I think we are losing it here. We're losing sound. So I'm taking off here, guys. See you later. Thank you.
are listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
Sign off. Oh, I see one person still listening in. So before I sign off, I kind of like to do this sometimes on the post stream show for the archive listeners. Interesting subjects touching on death tonight and life in the afterlife and what people go through. The incredible love that we have when someone does pass and then the things that go on. And look at Quinny's boyfriend. He is just coming through. And I think that might still be Quinny. You know what? I'm going to punk her on. We can talk a little bit. Quinny?
Yes.
Ah, you heard me talking. I know. I was going to paraphrase and go on, but then I was like, hey, she's still on. I'll talk to her. And I'm going to keep, got to make sure I'm going to keep the show from blowing up here too, because the computer is still trying that crap. But anyway, he's a talkative one, that one.
I believe it.
Yeah. So, John, check your drawers. Yeah. Purple. I'm going to write that down. Purple underwear. It's playful. Yeah, but yeah, I just get the feeling he is going to be making his presence known rather dramatically to you. And then I just got another burst of cold air. Every time I say something like that, he does something.
I can imagine.
So he's around. I'm gonna brew up a little mugwort tea, so I'm gonna see if I can remember any of the dreams I get. He might pop in tonight. I get the feeling he's gonna come thank me.
I was also thinking about six, and one of the last nights, well, we would always say I love you, and he would say I love you 3-4 instead of 2.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the last nights I said 4-5. So I'm like, okay, 6. So is he topping my 4-5?
I think they are so smart with everything that's happened, and they've lived their life review, and all this stuff is still fresh in their minds, and they have a lot more capacity for instant recall than we do, with our biological bodies. I think they like to throw multiple meanings in, but honestly, I really that could be, but I'm just leaning so heavily to the March connection. I mean, I really get this strong thing, and I just feel like a slight delay, in all this. So I don't know what that's all about, but it's a significant thing. He's bringing this up. So it's like they already know that there's going to be some stuff going on. I mean, remember their whole thing is their time is a little different than ours.
Yeah.
So, they're just operating in a different way, but, he is not shy about showing himself and making his presence known. So, I'm just glad that we were able to read, and do our thing with you, and hopefully it helped. So
yeah, it was great. Thank you so much.
All right, John. Well, hey, you know what we'll do is we'll do a private reading when you if you want to do something this weekend, let me know, like Sunday. I could pull some time aside and we can sit down and do some.
Okay.
If you have some specific questions, we could do something like that and kind of keep it a little more off the air.
He answered just about everything, but I would like to hear more what he has to say. And he always knew that I needed to hear he loved me, and he would tell me about every 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I think he's just definitely getting the point across. But I think it's gonna taper a little bit, you know, like a couple of months down the road, he'll taper it off a little bit, but it doesn't mean he won't be around. It's just he's just making sure that everything's set. He's really concerned about everything going on in his family right now. More so than most spirits would be. You know, most spirits are like, okay, you know, yeah, I'm gone, you know, I'll do what I need to do. This guy's kinda like, he's really wanting to be sure it's right, you know, and his personality is kind of that way. He's fixated on it. So
I'm worried about his mom, too.
Yeah, and I just get the feeling, you know, you calling her is going to be really helpful. So just when you find yourself thinking about her suddenly out of the blue, it's probably him kind of, you know, pulling attention over, you know. So I really think that that's kind of the way he's working this. So anyway, darling, but I just wanted to let you know, I was thinking about it at the end there. Saw you, and I thought I'd say that.
Not a problem.
Okay.
All right, thanks so much.
Right. Hey, you have a good evening.
You too.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night. And with that, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We're going to go ahead and sign it off here, and God bless you all, and I'll see you guys here this coming Sunday. Bye now.